welcome to another episode of my personal podcast, Ned Knows. Today, I'm talking to the creator of Paws and Tails, Dave Carl. Well, thanks for being with me today, Dave.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ned.
So, because I'm me, I happen to know that you have written the first ever Paws and Tails book. Well, tell me more about that.
I'd love to. It's called The Overcomers. And reading this book will be like reading maybe five regular episodes. The club is in the middle of a big new adventure, and there are new characters we introduce.
Yes, fascinating, Dave. I have it, though, by good authority, that this book centers around Ned and how he saves the day for everyone.
Well, no, that's not what the book is about. It is significantly about the struggle against evil that lurks high up in Wild Mountain. If anything, I'd have to say it centers around Stacy.
What? Gave you really good notes when you were writing this. What happened to all my great ideas?
Well, mostly I didn't read them. There was a lot of notes, Ned. In the book I did write, we meet Smidge, a badger who really wants to become someone who will make a difference. And he meets up with Crockett, a genuine overcomer, who begins to teach him how to survive in the woods and how to take care of the miners digging for gold in the tunnels of Wild Mountain.
Ned knows what this book was supposed to be about. In those notes you did not read, Ned inherits $1 million, but he does not let anyone know about it. And he sneaks around and secretly helps those in need and uses all kinds of really neat gadgets to fight crime.
I did read that part of the notes, but in this first Paws and Tails book, The Overcomers, we follow the club as they begin a new adventure, and we see how Crockett battles bandits and the evil minion in only the way an overcomer can.
Well, I did not know that you changed the whole book, Dave. This is a bitter disappointment. Well, this ends this episode of Ned Knows. Thanks for joining me, Dave Carl, who ignored all my notes. I'll see you all next time for another episode of Ned Knows. Joel, stop tape!
Welcome to the world of Paws and Tails.
Wild Mountain can be a pretty dangerous place. You stay on the trails and stick with me. There's adventures to be had there, too.
Come on, CJ, jump!
It's too far!
It wasn't too far for me.
Insight for Living is proud to present Paws and Tails. Howdy and welcome to Wildwood. School's over for the day, and there's no homework to be done. The girls are off on their own, and it's just Ned and CJ doing the very thing they like to do best.
It's the bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded, and if Ned catches this fly ball, we will win the World Series!
Well, I got it!
It's going...
No, I got it!
The World Series is in his hands!
Yes!
Ned Cleaver, you have just won the World Series!
Woohoo! Oh, well, I couldn't have done it without my new glove here. It's the best glove I've ever had. I don't think I'll ever let it out of my sight.
Yeah, whatever. Give me back my glove.
Oh, I think not. I think this is the reason why I won the World Series in the first place, and I think I'll just keep it.
Don't you make me come over there.
I think I just need to spit on the glove to, you know, loosen it up a little.
Do not spit on my new glove, Ned.
I just need to...
Get me here!
Oh, Uncle!
It is a great glove.
Well, you know, if you like gloves that are new, supple, and big enough to catch a cantaloupe in, then I guess it's okay. So you got it all, don't you?
Yep, I got it all. The best of everything.
Here we go again.
The best glove, the best bat. Three of them to be exact.
I am well aware of that.
And the best hat.
It's a very, very nice hat. Can we play ball now?
And even a case of official Major League Baseballs.
Yeah, you have it all. You are Mr. Baseball. You are the king. Can we play now?
Here comes $1 million ball. I don't have much else, but when it comes to baseball, I got it all.
Line drive. Except for a ball signed by a professional ball player.
If you want one, I'll sign it for you.
I got one.
Got one what?
A ball signed by a pitcher.
In the majors?
Yeah, from a long time ago.
Who?
Gentleman George Baxter.
Hey, I've heard of him.
Throw.
Since when did you have this ball?
It's from my granddad. It's an old ball in the box. No big deal.
Well, would you sell it?
No. Throw.
How about a trade?
No, it's a thing from my granddad. Forget about it.
You don't even know who Gentleman George is. Just trade me.
It could be a rock and I wouldn't sell it. Throw.
Well, as they played, CJ just wouldn't let go of the thought of that signed baseball. He pestered Ned so much they got upset at each other and they both stormed off in a huff. CJ headed off to the Collins mansion. He needed a place to make his plans. This bear cub was bound and determined to get that signed baseball.
Well, hello there, CJ.
Hi, Miss Collins.
Papa Chuck is working in the kitchen.
Oh, I'm not after him. I need to do some thinking.
Pretty serious stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I suggest the study or the parlor.
The study.
The study it is. Anything I can help you with?
I don't know. Ned has this signed baseball. He doesn't appreciate the value of it. I do. I tried to buy it or trade for it, but he won't even think about it.
So you need to do some thinking about how to get it from him.
Well, that makes it sound kind of harsh.
I suppose it does. Before you start all your thinking, I recommend this one.
Is that one of Mr. Collins?
It is. He recorded this tube almost 20 years ago in the Middle East. Papa Chuck found it, and I listened to it last week. It could help you out.
Okay.
You remember how to set it up?
Put the tube here, turn the crank slowly, and then put the needle on this side.
Good. Come find us in the kitchen when you're done thinking.
Thanks, Miss Collins. Here we go to the Middle East.
The sun is just now rising over the hills. I'm standing on what was once Samaria. Just ahead is where the palace of King Ahab once stood. I was going over the story of King Ahab this morning in 1 Kings, and it is possible that I'm standing on Naboth's vineyard.
Whoa.
Ahab was really a piece of work. King of Samaria, and it wasn't enough. Now it came about that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, King of Samaria.
This is beautiful. Beautiful!
Yes, O king.
So who owns it?
Naboth, sire. There he is, next to that tree.
Call him.
You there, Naboth! Your king requires an audience.
Great king, may you live forever. I'm your humble servant.
Yes, yes. I was just admiring your vineyard. It's exquisite.
Thank you, my lord. It pleases me that it pleases you.
Have you ever thought of growing vegetables on it?
Sire?
Vegetables! You know, lettuce, carrots, peas, beans, fennel.
I know what vegetables are, my lord.
Well, have you ever thought of growing them here?
No, sire. This is a vineyard. I grow grapes.
Yes, yes, but I have vineyards. I need a vegetable garden, and this is the perfect spot, right next to the palace.
I'm afraid I don't understand, O king.
I want you to give me your vineyard so I can turn it into a vegetable garden next to my house.
What?
I'll pay you for it. Name your price, but be fair.
No, sire.
Don't want money? Then how about this? I'll give you a better vineyard in its place. You pick it.
I cannot, O king.
Now, I insist. I won't take your vineyard for nothing.
I meant, O king, that I cannot exchange or part with the vineyard for any price.
Why not?
This vineyard has been in my family for generations. The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers.
But I'm offering you a better vineyard. Bigger! More vines.
It wouldn't matter if you offered me the palace itself, my lord. I cannot. I will not part with my family's land. I'm sorry. The answer is no.
Poor old Naboth had no way of knowing the kind of disaster that was about to befall him.
Elijah from Manchester, Pennsylvania. You know what I like to listen to the most? Positives, of course. Don't go away. We got Pocket Full of Positives coming right up.
Welcome, everyone. Nat the Beaver here. I have a very sweet mom here with me today that would love to tell you what she thinks about paws and tails. Go ahead, ma'am, that I have never met before.
I love that the kids in the club are so fun and take care of each other while they are learning about God.
Mom, read the whole script.
And I love that Ned Cleaver character. He is my favorite.
Better. Much better.
Stop slouching, Ned.
Mom!
Now, no wasn't a word Ahab was used to hearing. Instead of taking the news like a man, he stomped back to his palace, sullen and vexed.
Please, sire, eat something.
No, I won't. I won't. I'm going to my bedroom.
He plopped down on his bed and turned his face to the wall. The worried servants immediately sent for Queen Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was the most wicked queen Israel ever had. She worshipped idols, killed God's prophets. She was so evil that to this day her name is used to describe the most wicked of women. But she was devoted to Ahab, and when she heard that he had taken to his bed, she rushed to find out why.
Ahab, Ahab, darling, are you ill? What is it, your head?
No.
Well, then what's wrong? They told me you won't eat. What has happened?
Naboth.
Naboth?
The owner of the little vineyard next to the palace. It'd make a fine vegetable garden.
Well, yes, darling, I agree.
I thought so, too, but Naboth didn't.
He didn't?
No, I offered to buy it from him. He said no.
He said what?
Then I offered to give him a bigger vineyard, and he said no.
I don't believe it.
I know, he's so mean.
Oh, no, I don't believe you. Are you king over Israel or not?
Yes, but if he says no...
Then act like it. Don't let this vine grower get the best of you.
I can't just steal it from him, Jezebel. It's against the law. Even a king can't ignore the law.
Then take it from him legally.
He won't sell. I've tried everything.
Not everything.
You've got that look again. Jezebel... What are you thinking?
Nothing you need concern yourself with.
Jezebel!
Now, haven't I always gotten you everything you've wanted?
Uh-huh.
Have I ever let you down?
Uh-uh.
Then get up, eat, and let your heart be joyful. I will get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.
Jezebel went back to her room, took out several pieces of parchment and a quill, and began writing letters. And she signed them.
Ahab, King of Israel. A little wax, and the king's seal. Finished.
My queen.
Deliver these to the elders and nobles of the city.
Yes, my queen.
Now we'll see what Naboth has to say.
My lord?
A letter from the queen.
What does she want now? Interesting. She wants to proclaim a fast.
A fast? What for?
Not what. Who? The fast is for Naboth.
The vine grower? Why should we proclaim a fast for him?
Because the queen also wants us to prepare a very special surprise for him.
What kind of surprise?
Read for yourself.
Queen Jezebel proclaims... That is interesting.
I'll prepare the proclamation. You prepare the surprise.
As you wish, my lord. So the elders and the nobles did as Jezebel asked. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. And when he was deep in prayer, Jezebel's unholy surprise was sprung.
Hypocrite!
Liar!
Here, go away, you worthless men.
Who will go away?
As long as the most worthless one here goes with us.
Oh, who do you mean?
Neighbor! Oh.
Me?
Yes, you. You sit there praying as if you're righteous when you know you're not.
Do I know you men?
Know us? You were out drinking with us last night.
What?
Naboth, is this true?
No, my lord.
Why, you lie. We have proof.
Look at these wine jars. They bear the mark of your vineyard.
Where did you get those?
From you, when we were drinking together last night.
My lord, I don't know how these men got my wine jars, but I wasn't with them, and I do not know them.
They certainly claim to know you.
We claim more than that. We may be worthless men, my lord, but we love our king and our God.
Well, that's more than we can say for neighbors.
That's not true!
Quiet! That is a very serious charge.
We know how serious it is, and we stand by it.
Yeah, that's right. We thought Naboth was our friend, and we were having a good time until he stood up and in a loud voice cursed the king and God!
No, it isn't true!
There are two witnesses against you, Naboth.
And the law of Moses says, on the testimony of two witnesses, shall a man be put to death.
No, I beg you.
He must be put to death.
Hey, put him to death.
We have two witnesses.
Stone him.
No, please, no.
But Naboth's cries fell on deaf ears. The people dragged him outside the city and threw stones at him until he died.
Miriam, what would you think about lining the new garden with fig trees?
They killed him! He didn't do anything, and they killed him! That coward, he had it all. He was the king, and it wasn't enough!
After the elders and nobles had accomplished their task, they sent back word to Queen Jezebel.
A letter for you, O Queen.
Thank you. Excellent. The king will want to hear this.
She went to Ahab, who was still pouting in bed.
It's your queen, my love, with news of success.
Success?
Naboth can refuse you no longer. See?
Naboth has been stoned and is dead. How? Why?
One really must be careful of what one says in public, or in this case, doesn't say.
Jezebel, sometimes you're so naughty.
I told you I wouldn't let you down. Now get up and take possession of Naboth's vineyard.
Yes, my love.
And that's exactly what he did. Once again, Ahab had chosen evil as the way to get what he wanted, and this time, as it had in others before, it cost the life of an innocent man. And when it looked like evil had won the day, the Lord spoke to the prophet Elijah, who was living in the wilderness.
Elijah.
I am here, O God of Israel.
Go to Ahab in Samaria. He is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it.
What shall I tell him, O Lord?
You shall tell him, thus says the Lord. Have you murdered and also taken possession? In the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood.
From Barrie, Ontario. Don't go away. There's more Pleasant Tales coming right up.
Hey there, everyone. Dave Carl here. We want to put your kid on an episode of Pleasant Tales saying something like this. Hi, I'm Henry from North Carolina. If I could spend the day with CJ, I'd want to build a treehouse together. Now, we have some suggested scripts for you waiting just inside the clubhouse. We can't wait to hear what you all come up with. Record them, send them in, and we'll broadcast them to the world!
Elijah and Ahab had several unpleasant run-ins before. And both Ahab and Jezebel had sworn to kill the prophet, but when God tells you to do something, you do it and let him worry about the rest.
Ahab!
Elijah! Have you found me, oh my enemy?
I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord.
Now, Elijah.
Hear the words of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you and will utterly sweep you away because you have provoked me and because you have made Israel sin.
Jezebel?
Take care, prophet.
Of you, queen of iniquity, the Lord has also spoken. The dogs will eat Jezebel.
How dare!
Whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And whoever dies in the field, the birds of heaven will eat. Thus says the Lord.
No! Please! No!
Ahab was so stricken by these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. In fact, he just laid around in sackcloth, completely depressed. And God's will was done. The prophecies against Ahab's family came true. First, the wicked king himself fell in battle. Next, in a terrible struggle with Jehu, the enemy commander, Ahab's son Joram was killed by an arrow. Jehu then went to the palace and ordered that evil queen Jezebel be thrown from the tower.
No! No!
Wow. Miss Collins!
Hey, CJ! Is that you? I'm in the kitchen!
Where's Miss Collins?
Out in the garden, I think.
Papa Chuck, do you know about Naboth's Vineyard?
I do. A wrench, please.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
If a fellow really wants something that... Oh, I really want a baseball that Ned has, and he won't sell it to me.
Oh, Naboth's Vineyard.
Well, yeah.
Mrs. Collins give you that too?
Yeah.
Wow, she's good.
Yeah, so this baseball... It's important to Ned and all. It's from his granddad. So I don't want it anymore.
Good.
But I still want it.
Envy. That's what it's called. So what are you gonna do about your envy? How do you stop wanting stuff that belongs to someone else?
I don't know. I'm in the third grade.
You gotta have an idea.
I guess I have to just... be thankful for what I have.
That'd help. What else?
More? I could work hard so I can get the stuff I want.
That's not gonna help you with envy. That's just gonna distract you from taking care of it.
Well, I'm all out of ideas. The more I think about not wanting that baseball, the more I want it.
I don't think you can just go and stop being envious. You have to replace it with something.
Okay. I have no idea what that means.
I think we were made with a kind of an empty spot. And we need to fill it. We need to fill it bad.
Really?
Yep. We were made to need God. Need him for everything. Instead, well, we try to fill it up with stuff. There's not enough stuff in the whole world to make us feel full. Ahab was the king, and he still wanted more.
So what do I do?
Every time you feel envy, pray that you'll only want what God wants you to have.
Every time?
Every time.
If I start praying every time I want that baseball, I'll be praying it all the time.
When you're tempted, tell Jesus about it. You can't be thinking godly thoughts and sinful thoughts at the same time. One of them's gotta go.
Not sure I get it all, but I'll give it a shot.
That's the way it works, son. Fill yourself up with the things of God, and he'll change you. It's a mystery to be sure. Hand me that wrench, would you, CJ? CJ? Good for you. The wrench?
CJ did give it a shot. When he felt the burn of envy for something that someone else had, he prayed. And he did it a lot. All that praying along with his reading the Bible, it changed his heart. It took some time, believe you me, but that's the only way to get rid of envy. You gotta let God change your heart and make it strong. And CJ was gonna need a strong heart, because he was soon gonna be tempted in ways he never could have imagined.
If you're feeling empty, feeling bad for yourself, 'cause you're dreaming and longing for something belonging to somebody, somebody else, well, you won't be happy,
oh no,
till your envy is finally put away. And I'm telling you, this is the way. You've got to
get filled up with the things of God.
You've got to count your blessings, 'cause you know you've got a lot.
And don't forget the best things are the ones that can't be bought.
You've got to
get filled up with the things of God.
The things of this world, they don't last for long. Still, they've got you blue. Oh, blue. Look what they've done to you. Think that you just can't go on. So you gotta stop for a moment and you'll see what I'm saying is true. Then there's one thing you know you should do. You've got to
filled up with the things of God.
You've got to
count your blessings, 'cause you know you've got a lot. And don't forget the best things are the ones that can't be bought.
You've got to
get filled up with the things of God.
The things of God.
I gotta get filled up
with His peace.
Gotta get filled up
with His love.
Gotta get filled up
with a promise of heaven above.
Gotta get filled up with hope He gives to every girl and boy. Get filled up with His forgiveness and joy, 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 joy. Get filled up,
gotta get
with
filled
the
up
things of God. Got to count your blessings,
'cause
you
blessings
know you've got a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget the best things are the ones that can't be bought.
Gotta get filled up.
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 To order a copy of today's program, CJ and Ahab, just log on to pawsandtails.org. CJ and Ahab was written by Phil Luller and directed by David Carl. The song, Get Filled Up, was written by Sandy Howell and Nick Brown. Music was by Billy Martin, and our sound designer was Eric Basil. Pawsandtails is an Insight for Living production.